Blog Talk Radio. Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Imperfect Wives Radio. I am your co-host, Rebecca LeCompte, and I'm here with my co-host, the beautiful and wonderful and anointed Cherie Zack. Hey, Cherie.
Good morning. Good morning, Rebecca. How are you? Thank you for that incredible and undeserved introduction.
Oh, we will talk about that later, woman.
I know. So how are you doing?
Well, you know, I am just good. God is good. Life is good. I have got so many things to be grateful for, and I'm sure that our listeners feel the same way. And I know you do, too.
Yes, yes. I'm happy to be here with you this morning and having another opportunity to go through our Bible and talk about matters of the heart and some mistakes we've made and some things we've learned and the lessons we're learning from David today.
Yeah.
And you and I both love David's story. We love the things that that God felt are so important to our growth, our daily maturity, you know, as Christians, as wives. And so I'm excited to get in to the study this morning. Would you like to go over last week and just kind of give us an overview of what we learned? Because last week was so good.
It was. God is so good all the time. You know, we just say that all the time because it's true. His word is life to us, and we just love it. We always think that it's good. But last week, we talked about matters of the heart. It was part one, and we talked about the lessons that we learned from Saul, and we were in 1 Samuel chapters 8 through 15, and we gave you a little homework. We said, read it for yourself.
Yeah.
We were reading out of the message. We were talking about some of the things that Saul showed us. The first one was that a wrong heart leads to wrong desires and takes you somewhere you don't want to be. And we talked about, you know, Saul and how he ended up somewhere he really didn't want to be because he didn't do what was right because his heart was wrong. And the second one was insecurity and people-pleasing don't produce obedience to the Lord. And we saw that in 1 Samuel 15. Saul really wanted the people to be happy with him. And because he wasn't secure in himself and he wasn't secure in who he was and what he was called to be in the Lord, he made a wrong choice, and that was the choice that really got him where he didn't want to be. So we really learned some things from that situation with Saul, didn't we, Cherie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I am. Well, I, you know, it's just interesting how the things that we walked through last week during the show, I ended up seeing come to life, you know, throughout my week, and realized that there's a little bit of a people pleaser still in me, and I, you know, bend to people in certain areas, even though I really don't want to. And what I realized is sometimes, well, a lot of the time, the reason I don't want to is because I truly feel God leading me a different direction. But I'll bend, you know, to people, to Bill, my husband, different people in my life because maybe not as much because I want to please them, but because I don't want to upset them. And sometimes, you know me, Rebecca, you know that I'll ask myself two questions. Is it worth fighting for? Is this something I truly believe in and I need to fight for? Is it something that doesn't matter either way? And you know that I do that a lot. And I realized that there were some things that Bill and I needed to talk about this week because I was bending, and it had become a culture within our home that I was not able to do things that I truly want to do, even just simple daily things, like where the rug goes in my bathroom. I know that seems silly, but Bill doesn't like where I put the rug, but you know what? It's my bathroom. I'm the one that cleans it, and I'm the one that decorated it, and I want the rug where it goes. And I've bent to him so many times, and I hope I'm not doing anything wrong by sharing this, but I've said okay and just let him do what he wants to do, and it's kind of changed things. And I realized I don't have to do that. I can actually sit with him and say, you know what, hon, I know you don't exactly like the way that things are, but this is my reason for it. Make sense?
Yeah.
And then that changed it. Yeah. Go ahead.
So you had this conversation about the rug with Bill.
Yeah.
About
the rug.
And where is the rug?
The rug is back where it belongs.
And was he okay?
Yeah, once he understood. But what we didn't realize was, you know, even Bill, it's just, and I don't want anyone to get the wrong impression of Bill, and I don't want to come off like I'm the one who wears the pants in the family, because I understand this conversation could go that way really fast. That's honestly not the truth. And you know that. I don't wear the pants in this family. But there are things as a homemaker, and you know, I love making my home a home. I love to paint. I love to decorate. I love making wreaths. You know, the wreaths in my home, I made all of them myself, you know, by hand. I really enjoy decorating my home, and I was losing that part of me because Bill would come in and he would change everything. And, you know, he would change this, change that. I set up our bedroom, and he came in, and he kind of changed it a little bit, and I don't like it. And, you know, I'm the one that's here throughout the day. I'm the one that's cleaning, vacuuming, you know, taking care of things, and my husband's coming in, Bill's coming in, and he's not thinking, well, you know, Sheree worked really hard on this. Sheree has a reason why she did it this way. He just wasn't thinking that. So I felt like I was losing a part of me every time. And little by little, he came into my office and he took a whole space. He took my teapot out of my office. My teapot, Rebecca, that I used to make my hot tea. Okay, hello. And he just took it out that Bobby gave me for Christmas, one of our sons. And Bobby was so proud that he found that teapot. And it heats up water and it keeps the water hot. So I could honestly have hot tea all day long right here in my office. Now, for, you know, a girl like me, that's like, well, Bill Zach decides he's going to put his computer in my office and he takes my teapot out. And I had this whole cute stand and, you know, all of my little condiments that I like for my hot tea. And I even had ginger snap cookies there because those are my favorite to have with my hot tea. He took it all out. It's all distributed. Didn't ask me. And I had flowers on the little, you know, the little desk, or not desk, but whatever you, end table, I guess is what you would call it. I had flowers, and it was so pretty. And I think I took a picture for you and even sent it to you, right?
You did, but last Friday.
And Bill took it out. And he didn't ask me if he could use my office. He just brought his stuff in here and is taking up a whole space. I'm looking at his stuff now.
Oh.
I'm not complaining. Please know my heart. But I realized I cannot, I cannot be a people pleaser. I have a right to tell Bill how I feel. And I think it's okay that he could have asked me, hun, do you mind if I take up space in your office? But he didn't ask. And it hurt my feelings that he took my teapot out. I know that seems so silly. In the grand scheme of things for today, you know, what's going on in the world. But this is my world right here, my home. And so it really caused me to sit down with Bill and share with him, you know, these things are important to me. And this is what makes me so, one of the reasons I enjoy being home is because I'm able to make this a home. If there's something you want, tell me. Let's talk about it. You know, but it hurt my feelings that you just went into my office and took up a whole space and took my stuff out. If it was just sitting there, that's one thing. But I had the whole area decorated, and I had everything I needed, including my cookies. That in itself should have told you, you know what, this is important to Sheree. I shouldn't just take it out because I felt like he was just saying I didn't matter.
Yeah.
Does that make
sense?
And
that wasn't what. And that wasn't what he was trying to communicate.
No, that wasn't
not
a part
at all. No.
Right.
And
that's
and
how I received it.
Right. But I'm so glad you had a talk with him. And that's part of what we talk about with imperfect wives, is that you cannot, when we recommend that you submit because it's what the Word of God says, we're not saying be a doormat and let your husband do whatever he wants, whenever he wants, without any input from you. Submission, you know, real biblical submission means that you still can have a differing opinion. You just have to communicate it with love and respect.
Yeah, and not bend yourself to become a people pleaser where, like I was doing, to where you lose the things that are important to you. You know, and I mean, and I don't know about any other wife. If you're listening and you're like, Sheree, I'm raising my hand with you. I've allowed my husband to have a certain thought and I never stopped him. And now I'm the one sitting here miserable and he has no idea why. You know, then please let me know. Email me at SheereeZack@gmail.com and let me know that, because it would definitely be comforting to know I'm not the only one that has made this mistake. We even talked about Proverbs 31 and the Proverbs 31 wife. Nowhere in Proverbs 31 does it talk about the husband coming in and changing everything. He has actually given her room to do the things that she's called to do in her home, and I pointed that out. And Rebecca, I never saw that before. My focus has always been on what the wife does, but it never dawned on me that the husband's not there telling her and dictating what she should do. He's respecting her in the home, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that powerful?
It is. I love it when we get new revelation.
Yeah. So that opened up a conversation for us. And I love how God always gives us a word. You know, all we have to do is go in the Bible, and he's going to show us why we feel the way we do. But he's going to show us how to convey it to our husbands in the right way. And we have the Bible to back it up. And that for me was like, you know, and I even told him, well, don't get mad at me. I didn't write it. God did. We truly should be living by what the Bible says, and we don't. You know, but our home is working on that. We are working on that. This is our new season, to actually take what the Bible says, what God has told us, and begin to implement that into our daily lives. And we talked about that Sunday as we prayed together as a family, and that was one of the things that Bill realized was, you know, he apologized to God in our prayer time, and he said, please forgive me for not doing the things that you have called me to do. He said, I'm working on that, Lord, and I'm going to make it better. And that really blessed my heart, because my husband, Bill, is learning just as much as I am, and there's some points where we're learning it together. And this study, Rebecca, is so rich. This study is so rich. We truly want to hear your thoughts as you're listening. We're not just saying that. We know that if God is stirring our hearts and he's making changes in our homes, within our marriages and the way that our homes are working, then we know that if you're listening, that God is stirring some stuff in you as well. He's pointing things out to you. He's showing you what he wants to change, or he's showing you the things that he wants you to begin to implement within your marriage, within the structure of how your home works. Share that with us. You can email us at info@theimperfectwives.com or .org, and let us know, info@theimperfectwives.org. And let us know what your thoughts are. What's going on in your marriage, and how is this study affecting you? And we just might quote you as we're writing out these resources, huh, Rebecca?
We
with your permission.
Yes, we would never do anything like that without your permission.
But with your permission, yeah. So is there anything, you know, within your marriage this week that God was able to teach you from our study last week and heading into this one?
You know, really, the lessons that we got this week were pretty amazing, but they're really for this week's study rather than last week's study. So I'm going to hold on to those until we get into our lesson for today.
Well, I mean, it's a, you know, it's a continuation. We really probably shouldn't call it last week, but it's a continuation, is what we're seeing, as God is guiding us and leading us. And so I'm sure that whatever you have to share is probably going to apply next week and, you know, and then the study after that.
Well, I'm saying for the content for this week, you know, that God
yeah.
was teaching us kind of right along. But I think we should jump in and pray and get into
it. Yeah, I mean, we're already in it, so, yeah, go for it.
Daddy, we come to you in Jesus' name, and Lord, we love you. We worship you and adore you. We give you glory and honor and praise because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and there is none like you in all the earth. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us into all the truth, Lord, that, Lord, we are your sheep and we hear your voice and that we don't follow the voice of a stranger. Lord, we thank you that when our hearts are wrong, you're talking to us and you're showing us where it needs to be corrected. Lord, where we feel insecure and we are focused on pleasing others rather than pleasing you, Lord, that you guide us and direct us and change us to be the women that you want us to be, women who are solely focused on you and pleasing you. And Lord, we thank you that you speak to our hearts and you show us the benefits and the blessings of being focused on you and having a right heart toward you, Lord, that you show us the blessings that you're going to pour out of us, out onto us and through us into the lives of others because of our obedience. And Lord, we thank you that we will not do anything except what you would have us to do. We would not say anything except you, what you would have us to say. That's our goal because that's what Jesus did. And Lord, we want that. We hunger and thirst for that kind of righteousness and holiness, Lord, and that intimacy with you, that we would reflect your glory in all that we do and say. Lord, we thank you for that. Lord, we surrender the rest of this time. Lord, we thank you that you've already been here fellowshipping with us, speaking to our hearts. And Lord, we just say, have your way with the rest of our time. And Lord, we thank you that we will not leave here the same, but we will be changed. We say it by faith with expectation in our heart for your goodness, your mercy and your grace in us. Lord, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Are you there, Cherie?
I am, amen. I forgot, I put it on mute sometimes in case I have to cough and I forgot to unmute.
So today we are going to talk about the second king that the Lord had for the nation of Israel. We've talked about Saul last week, and this week we're going to get to talk about David. And Cherie, I know that he is your favorite.
Well, as far as kings go, outside of Jesus, of course, he's my ultimate favorite, but because nobody got it like he did. He is definitely the one that we need to walk after. But David, his mistakes are mistakes that so many of us make in our marriages and in life in general. You know, so I love that God, I'm encouraged that God included his mistakes because that tells me there's hope for me.
Yes, there's hope for all of us, which is so good.
Yeah.
So our first point for today is that when your heart is right before the Lord, you are fearless and full of faith. And, you know, we've all heard the story of David and Goliath. You know, that is something that we hear, you know, if we're raised in the church, that's one of the first stories we hear. It's such a dramatic narrative that, you know, we all love the underdog story, right? At least he looks like the underdog from the physical right, from the natural perspective. But in the spirit, he was far from being the underdog. He was absolutely the victor. But David had spent a lot of time alone with the Lord. He knew God. He'd spent all those days in the fields with the sheep, defeating the lion and the bear, worshiping the Lord. And that allowed him to keep his focus on God. And he had great confidence when he got to his first big moment there on the battlefield with Goliath.
Keep going. You're good.
Okay, Cherie.
Do you want to go ahead and read the scripture?
Anytime. Well, you know, I want to, we've got a scripture in our in our notes. Sheree and I get to share notes of wonders of modern technology.
Yeah.
And we love that. But I want to read, it's from 1 Samuel 16, and it's not in our notes, Sheree. And I cannot tell you where what specific verse it is in the message, because the one I'm reading doesn't have the little notation beside it, but it says, Samuel took his flask of oil and anointed him, with his brothers standing around watching. The Spirit of God entered David like a rush of wind, God vitally empowering him for the rest of his life. And that, I think that was verse 13 in chapter 16.
Okay.
Maybe somebody in the chat room will look at it for us. But David, there he is, and he's been alone with the Lord in the field, and he gets called in because Samuel's heard that it's time to anoint the next king, and he rejects all of David's brothers by the Spirit. You know, he says, nope, you're not the one, and there he is. He sees David, and God says, anoint him. This is the one. And then some time passes. We don't know exactly how long it took for him from that moment until David gets out to the battlefield. But he goes to, he's just taken some food out to his brothers. And he starts to hear what Goliath is saying to the Israelite army. And he's so focused on God that that's where he's looking. He is outraged by what Goliath is saying, you know. And so instead of looking at the circumstances, David looks to God. And that perspective gave David faith and allowed him to walk confidently toward Goliath and not show any fear. That is so important. And, you know, Sheree and I talk about this regularly, that we should not show any fear, and that we need to remember that who we're fighting, you know. And you gave a perfect example of that just a few minutes ago in your sharing what happened between you and Bill. It would have been easy for you to think, well, Bill was your enemy and he's trying to, you know, put you down and, you know, take your room away from you and all these things that the enemy could have said. But you understood that Bill wasn't your enemy, that it was a situation that just needed to be addressed. And then when we fight, we know who we're fighting. We're not fighting with our husbands, but we're fighting for our marriage. And I that is super important for you to remember. Your husband is not your Goliath.
Right. The situation can be your Goliath. How it ends depends on you and the choices that you make. But, you know, the Holy Spirit is so quick to respond to us because his heart is to keep us out of trouble. Not the Holy Spirit has never prompted me to get into trouble, just so you know. I have done that all on my own. And then there's times that Satan has tempted me and I have fallen and, you know, given Satan way. And I wish I could say that I've had a life free of that, but that's not true. But the Holy Spirit, he's so quick to prompt us in the right direction. And if we'll just listen, if we'll bend our ear to him and hear what he has to say. One of the things I find as I do that, Rebecca, is I find confidence in the steps that I'm about to make.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my direction has come from God, because he's the one telling me, Sheree, this is the situation, this is the actual truth to the perspective you're looking at. And this is how you need to handle it. This is the way I'd like for you to go. And not every time have I said yes to him, but there are times that I have, like I did this past week. I listened to the Lord. I listened to what he was saying, and I went with his direction, and it made all the difference. So Bill wasn't my Goliath, although I did see him that way at times. You know, but he wasn't. The situation was, and I needed to bring it back into perspective. It wasn't as big as it felt or seemed, you know, in my heart.
Yeah. And so this is what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 32 in the message. David's addressing Saul, and he says, Master, don't give up hope. I'm ready to go and fight this Philistine. you know, in the NIV it says, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. And that's what had already happened. They had lost heart. Nobody was willing
right.
to step up and fight Goliath. But this is where David was. This is what it says in 1 Samuel 17:34-37. David said, I've been a shepherd tending sheep for my father. Whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I'd go after it, knock it down, and rescue the lamb. If it turned on me, I'd grab it by the throat, wring its neck, and kill it. Lion or bear, it made no difference. I killed it. And I'll do the same to this Philistine pig who is taunting the troops of God alive. God, who delivered me from the teeth of the lion and the claws of the bear, will deliver me from this Philistine. Saul said, go, and God help you. And so there he is. He is saying, this is what I see. This is what I've experienced.
Okay.
He is confident in God because he's had experiences with God. And that's what we need to remember. Rehearse, just like David did. How has God equipped you? How has God given you victory in the past? And then say, if he's done it before, he's going to do it again.
Yeah, yeah. Reminds me of the old Kratz. The crab got a Southern Gospel, he'll do it again. It's an awesome song. But he will. And, you know, I can hear David. He was just a kid. You know, he wasn't a grown man. He was a kid. And so people were looking at that perspective. They had the wrong perspective. But David was brave enough and he had enough confidence in God that he pretty much gave them his resume.
Yep.
And they had a choice. Either they were going to believe him or not. But it didn't matter because David was going forward anyway.
Yes. And here is what he says to Goliath specifically. And this is 1 Samuel 17:45-47. David answered, you come at me with sword and spear and battle axe. I come at you in the name of God of the angel armies, the God of Israel's troops, whom you curse and mock. This very day, God is handing you over to me. I'm about to kill you, cut off your head, and serve up your body and the bodies of your Philistine buddies to the crows and coyotes. The whole earth will know that there's an extraordinary God in Israel, and everyone gathered here will learn that God doesn't save by means of sword or spear. The battle belongs to the Lord. He's handing you to us on a platter. I love it. What confidence he had, not in himself, but in the God that sent him.
Well, you know, if you go back to verse, where is it at, 41. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth. Ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, and I love this, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and to the beasts of the field. Now, if I did not have David's confidence, that would have scared the pee out of me.
Yeah.
You know? Think about
right.
it. Think about the confidence that David had in God. He had the confidence that he knew he was doing what God had called him to do. He knew that God had equipped him, and he knew that he could accomplish the will of God through this. And I love how God chooses the people that we least think can do it.
Yes.
What they're called to do. He chooses the least of these. And the thing that really leaps at me, Rebecca, is, and I don't know, as our listeners, as you're listening, I'm wondering if it leaped at you as well. You know, the Philistine, Goliath, he cursed David. He cursed him by his gods. And what happened? The curse ended up falling on him.
Yes.
Not on David. It had no effect on David because David was covered by God. You know, and there's those times that things come at us and Satan, he bombards our thoughts and he tells us lies. And if we choose to receive them, they can impact us negatively. But if we choose to, you know, renew our mind with God's word, then those lies have no effect on us. And you know that Satan was lying to David. You know that Satan was attacking his thoughts, was trying to attack his thoughts. But David was so steadfast in what he knew that everyone that came against him didn't even matter.
Yeah, he really was focused
Yes,
on
focus.
The Lord.
What a great word.
And, you know, Cherie, sometimes we face our own Goliath, whether it's our thoughts toward our husband or what we perceive as their attitude toward us.
Right.
Maybe even the fact that they're not a believer can become a Goliath to us. But the key right now for us is to spend time alone with the Lord, like David did. David was alone with God, and he allowed God to become the largest thing in his field of vision. He really was focused. And
yeah.
God was preparing him. David didn't understand that he was being prepared for something more. At that moment, he was just doing what he was called to do. And in doing what he was called to do, which was to be a shepherd of those sheep, he was in preparation. Where you are is preparation for what is to come. So just get alone with him, spend time with him, and view those small challenges that you're facing, or maybe the ones that seem like a lion or a bear. See him as that, and see God's hand even in those, because he is preparing you for what you're going to face if you're not already there. And Cherie, I know some of us are facing giants right now, and I wonder what our listeners feel like is the giant they're facing right now.
I love that question. You know, I commented to you about it in our notes. It's, you know, if we just really look at our circumstances, we'll realize that our Goliath isn't as big as we think it is, but there's still the potential to turn it into so much more. You know, the old adage, you've made a mountain out of a molehill. My mom used to say that all the time when I was growing up. Cherie Louise, you've just made a mountain out of a molehill. You know, she's English. And I hear that. I won't say my age, but the age that I am today, I still hear my mom saying that. And she's right. I still have the tendency to make a mountain out of a molehill. But if I follow after David's example and I look back on my life and I see where God has strengthened me and I see where he has walked with me, then I know I can do this because he's already proven it to me. And I'm sure as you're looking at your Goliath, maybe you're starting to realize it's not quite the Goliath I thought it was. Actually, this is pretty simple. And I can turn it off by just saying this one thing or doing this one thing or just laying it down or whatever it is that the Holy Spirit is saying to you. That Goliath will be taken care of instantly, just as it was with David.
Exactly. And, you know, Cherie, you had asked kind of where I was, what lessons was the Lord teaching me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is really where I am because we haven't really made it public knowledge, but I'm about to. You know, my husband, Robert, is a Navy chaplain, and we have been told that if he doesn't get picked up for promotion, we're going to be out of the Navy, and we have an ending date. And you know, it's off in the distance. It's not like next month or anything. It's not even next year, but we know it's coming. And that has the potential to be our own Goliath.
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord has been ministering to our hearts and saying it isn't a Goliath that you will not have victory over. And in fact, the things that you've been doing for all these years have been those lions and bears that you have been facing and having victory over in those smaller ways, but they are preparing you for what is to come. And we just need to keep doing what we're doing and be obedient to the new things that he's telling us to do as he tells them, because he's always telling us something new to do, isn't he?
Yes.
You know, start this, try this, step out here, do this, you know, and as you do that in those little steps, those are preparation for what is going to be your next Goliath. And the truth is, we're going to have a series of Goliaths in our lives. There's not going to be probably just one. There may be, when you look back at the end of your life, there may be one that stands out. But when you're in the middle of it, it can feel like you have a series of them. And I know that many of our listeners feel that way because they've shared with us privately. You know, we see women who go through a series of things that are difficult, but we've seen them have victory because they've kept God the largest focus in their field of vision. And that is so important. get ready. If your heart isn't right, like David's heart was, it's not too late.
Right.
Get right with God. Repent. It is really, it's powerful, but it's simple. God doesn't make it hard for us to get right with Him. And He will make you fearless. And He will give you faith if you trust Him for those things.
Have we gotten to 1 Samuel 18:17-19? Is that where we're at in our notes?
No, we're not down there yet.
Oh.
We are just to number two. Point number two.
Oh, there we are. Okay. Oh, if this wasn't live, I could have just asked you.
But it's okay, because ladies, you know what? Sheree and I, we're just like you. We are just normal. We just make mistakes, and we laugh about it, and we keep going.
Yeah.
Because what else can you do? So
you can keep moving forward. The humble heart leaves room for God's blessings in life. David was a man after God's own heart. We know that because we've read it many times. But do we truly understand, you know, what God is saying? David knew the source of his blessings, and he didn't try to exalt himself. It's really important that we catch that. Because of his humility, David was able to remember that Saul was still the king. He was the anointed king. He was anointed by God. And he waited patiently until the Lord worked everything out. You know, and his wives, sometimes there's something. Even with Bill and I, there was that little bit of a struggle this week. And there's moments where, though Bill is the head of our home, there's moments where I need to be able to say something and I need to share something. But I have to wait for my appointed time, just as David had to wait for his appointed time, because there's so much that David needed to learn. And I really see myself just in this one little paragraph, you know, Rebecca, because if I could just learn to be still and trust God, then a lot of things that I say with Bill, I can see that so many arguments would have never even happened. You know, sometimes we need to argue. Sometimes we need to get a little loud and let our passion come out, because, you know, be revealed about the situation, because that's just how we are. But the arguments, you know, the it's bad when you say the word twice. The arguments. A lot of those could have been avoided had I waited my appointed time. And I'm learning as we're reading through David's story again, as we're reading his life history, I'm realizing David didn't have any more information than I do. It wasn't like God gave him a decree and said, this is what you're going to do, this is what's going to happen tomorrow, this is, you know, the things you're going to face with Saul in the next year. David didn't have any of that. He was experiencing his life step by step, just like I am, just like you are. But David sensed that his time wasn't, you know, his appointed time wasn't there yet. And I'm finding a lot of revelation in that, Rebecca, and I'm realizing that some things in my life that I'm ready to just go after, even where my marriage is concerned, it's not the right time. And I really do need to just be still and know that God is God and understand that He has it under control. And that'll keep me from making mistakes. That'll keep me from breaking doors down, you know, in the natural, not literally breaking the door down, but to get my way, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I'm realizing that as I continue to walk, that God's timing is so perfect. And though it's in my heart and I'm wanting to do it, maybe it's not the right time. And if He's not showing me that it's the right time, then I need to be still, just as David was. But, you know, I know for some of us, we look at David and we're like, Sheree, he was a king. He's a man. You know, we're women. How can he possibly relate to us? But like we said, a humble heart leaves room for God's blessings in life. If we can humble our hearts and really look at his story, then God's going to begin to reveal some things to you that maybe you haven't seen yet. And you're going to be encouraged and you're going to be strengthened, and you're not going to make the mistakes that you could have made.
Amen. That's good. You know, Sheree, I want to give our listeners the place in the Word where it says that David was a man after God's own heart, but I want to read it in the Message, because I love the way it says it. It's in Acts chapter 13, verses 20 through 22, and it says, up to the time of Samuel the prophet, God provided judges to lead them, but then they asked for a king, and God gave them Saul, son of Kish, out of the tribe of Benjamin, After Saul had ruled 40 years, God removed him from office and put King David in his place with this commendation: I've searched the land and found this David, son of Jesse. He's a man whose heart beats to my heart, a man who will do what I tell him. And that, Cherie, is what I want God to be able to say about me, that I am a woman whose heart beats to his heart, a woman who will do what God tells her to do. And my prayer for all of us is that we would be that woman whose heart beats to God's heart. So if you haven't prayed that prayer for yourself lately or ever, now's a really good time to do that. And just ask him to make you that woman. Are you there?
Yeah. Just giving you time.
Okay. And that's all. So I just wanted to encourage our listeners to do that. But I also want to share a couple of examples of David's humility in this story. The first one is 1 Samuel 17, verse 58, which says, Saul asks, "Whose son are you, young man?" And David said, "I am the son of your servant Jesse of Bethlehem." He identifies himself as the son of a servant, which by implication means he is also Saul's servant, which I love. And then talking about the blessing that David received in 1 Samuel 18, verse 14, it says, "Everything David did turned out well. Yes, God was with him." And then in 17 through 19, here Saul is already, by this point, scared of who David is and what the anointing that's on him. And he's trying to maneuver and manipulate the situation to get David out of his way. And this is what happens. "One day Saul said to David, 'Here is Merab, my oldest daughter. I want to give her to you as your wife. Be brave and bold for my sake. Fight God's battles.' But all the time, Saul was thinking, 'The Philistines will kill him for me. I won't have to lift a hand against him.' David, embarrassed, answered, 'Do you really mean that? I'm from a family of nobodies. I can't be son-in-law to the king.'" That's how he thought of himself. He didn't, even though he had already been anointed by God, you know, Samuel had done that, and he had had that victory over Goliath, and the people were singing his praises, he still knew where he came from and that the victories that he had were only from the Lord. "I'm from a family of nobodies. I can't be son-in-law to the king." But God knew. You know, and the question that comes to our minds, listeners, is this: in your interactions and dealings with your spouse, are you humble? Are you able to remember who is the head of your family and honor him, even in the face of disagreements, difficulties, and trials? Those are hard questions, because for me, Cherie, it isn't a completely, yes, I can say, yes, I am completely humble. I'm more humble than I used to be with Robert. A lot more, and he's so glad. He's so glad. I mean, I was like the poster child for pride when we first got married. I thought I knew everything, and you know, I was there to tell him all about it.
Yeah, so. I wonder, you know, if we'll take a moment to really think about it, what are the barriers that are keeping us from being able to say yes? Because those represent root issues within us. You know, and we've said this before, those root issues can be something that was planted when we were children, back from our childhood. It can be something that someone, you know, a sin that was committed against us. Those create deep root issues. But there's also those soul wounds where we've been hurt, maybe hurt by someone in our church, or, you know, those things, believe it or not, they affect us, and they affect our marriages. And it's important that we take the time to spend with God and ask him, "Lord, why can't I not say that I recognize my husband as the head? And you may recognize him as the head, but do you give him the same respect that God wants you to give him, whether he deserves it or not? There's a culture that we've really had to work on with our family that we had to, with the boys, that we had to really, I really had to work on, because, you know, they were getting so used to the culture that people only get respect if they deserve it. And teaching them that that's not what the Bible says. That is not what God has told us to do. We are to love our neighbors as ourselves. We love them whether they deserve it or not. We show them respect whether they deserve it or not, because this is what we're called to do as Christians. And, you know, Bobby and Troy had a really hard time with that, with the respect. They thought, no, Mom, if they've earned it, then I'll give it to them, but not otherwise. You know, and it has been a battle in our home. And I've asked them many times, do you see that I'm respecting so-and-so? This is what happened. You were there for it. You saw that it happened. But what was my response? And, you know, and they both said, well, Mom, you showed respect. And I said, exactly. Why do you think I showed respect? And they both said, I don't know why you showed respect, because I wouldn't have. And, you know, so if we're not teaching our children, especially our sons and our daughters, to respect our husbands, that showing them that we respect our husbands, then as they get married, they're not going to have an understanding of what true respect is. They're not going to respect their wives. They're not going to respect their children. And their wives, your daughters, will not respect their husbands. And then they're going to be coming to you upset, bringing to you the mistakes they're making, only they're not going to realize they made the mistake. And there's going to be drama and battle constantly. And then you're going to think back to, oh, wow, why didn't I take the time to do that? I'm not saying that's actually going to happen, but for my family, I'm trying to make sure that does not happen.
Right.
You know, I want Bobby and Troy to understand respect. I want James William to understand respect. And when they get married, I will begin to teach their wives what true respect is. Everything that you and I have learned, Rebecca, and we're still learning as we go,
yes,
that I'm going to pass that down to my son's wives. And
yeah,
I pray that having me in their life, that I'm able to honor God and honor them by teaching them the things that are so important to God's heart and that, of, you know, God has made important to us. And if there are some root issues and they're not able to show my sons respect, then I'm going to gently love them through it and encourage them and hopefully strengthen them. Because that's
right,
what we're supposed to do as Titus 2 women, right?
Right. I love that. Love them through it. That's what God does for us. He loves
yeah,
us through those periods where we have wrong attitudes.
Lots of
unconditional love. And, you know, that is vital. It is so important, and love is a real important part of our next point, and that's point number 3, which is integrity toward others is vital to receiving the Lord's blessings. And, you know, integrity is a component of loving God. You know, when we are people of integrity, we're doing what the Lord wants us to do. And, you know, talks about if we love God, we'll obey him, right? So here we have to obey. And when we obey, the more and more we obey, the more and more we become women of integrity. You know, David had integrity toward King Saul, because this story is full of times that Saul tried to kill David himself or have him killed. But David chose not to retaliate and kill Saul when he had the chance. And, you know, in this story in 1 Samuel, there are a couple of occasions where David had the chance in 1 Samuel 24 and in 1 Samuel 26. And eventually, Saul died, and it was not at David's hand. And David was made the king because David was a man of integrity and didn't murder Saul. He was able to become king. I think if he had chosen a different path, he would not have been able to stay in that position that he had been anointed for. But God honored David because of his obedience and integrity. And I don't really want to take the time, Cherie, to read all of that, but that's 1 Samuel 24, verses 1 through 13, talks about it. What?
Yeah,
do you want to read it?
Well, I love 5 through 7.
Okay. You want to read it? It's from the message.
Oh, it's from, okay. I actually have mine open, but I'll read it from the message. So we're looking at 1 Samuel 24, verses 5 through 7. Immediately, David felt guilty, the Bible says. He said to his men, God forbid that I should have done this to my master, God's anointed, that I should as much as raise a finger against him. He's God's anointed. David held his men in check with these words and wouldn't let them pounce on Saul. Saul got up, left the cave, and went out down the road. You know, Saul heard David's heart, Rebecca. He heard what he was saying. And the thing that leaps at me is what David said when he said, he's God's anointed. It wasn't as much that David was respecting Saul as it was that David was respecting God. If God chose to anoint Saul, David wasn't going to touch him because that was God's choice. Do we get that?
Mm-hmm.
Our husbands are anointed by God. We may not think they are. We may, rise up against them, and we've counted the ways that they've made us mad, and we set these marks against them. And we're coming against our husbands in every area. Bless their hearts. But God has anointed them. You didn't have to be there the moment they were anointed for it to be true. Your husband is anointed to lead you. He may not be walking in that anointing, but it doesn't take that anointing away. And what we have to do as wives is we need to respect God. We need to respect our husbands, but we need to respect God's anointing. Make sense?
Absolutely. There,
and we talked about this, Rebecca. Yeah,
yeah,
we've talked about this. We had a friend here that one of the ladies in our local Imperfect Wives group here in Beaufort, and one of their struggles has always been the children, and because the children are not hers, they came in with her husband, her first marriage, his second, and the Lord spoke to my heart, and he reminded me the one thing that they're struggling over the most is the one thing they shouldn't be, because her husband is anointed to take care of the children, and she needs to listen to him. She needed to listen to him and what he was saying, because God had anointed him. And what was happening was, just like we all do, she was getting in the midst of that and making it hard for him to lead and guide the children. Make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
She wasn't trusting the anointing. She didn't see the anointing. She didn't realize. So my husband, Bill, he is anointed to lead our home. One of the areas that his anointing just shows so well is in our finances. This man is anointed when it comes to our finances. That is one of his giftings. He's anointed overall. But finances are definitely one of his giftings. And I kept getting in the midst of that and was causing a lot of problems, a lot of heartache for our marriage, not realizing, because I had no clue he was anointed. It wasn't until after I made all the mistakes did it dawn on me, and that's when I was ready to listen, and God began to speak to me and tell me, I have anointed him. You need to back off, and you need to let him do what I've called him to do, and trust me and trust him. So what we're saying is, just as God has showed David that Saul was anointed, so David wasn't going to touch him, he wasn't going to come against him, he wasn't going to slay him, even though Satan gave so many opportunities for David to do that. David said no, and not only did he say no, he held his men accountable. We need to hold our children accountable when it comes to this. If they are saying things to you that are coming against their dad, you need to stop it right then.
Mm-hmm.
Stop it in its tracks. Do not let your children murmur against your husband. Remind them that your husband is anointed to lead your family and that they need to watch themselves. You have to be the mom in that area to do that, because you don't want it to get so bad that it ends up getting to your husband, because that in itself can cause your husband to feel, obviously he's not feeling respected, but it's also going to come against his confidence to lead his family. And we are their helpmates. We are the watchful eyes. We're the gatekeepers in our homes. We need to be mindful of what our children are saying and making sure that we continue to cultivate an atmosphere in our homes of respect. And I say that because I have three sons.
Yes.
And I have dealt with this many times.
Yeah. And you have it. And you're speaking out of experience, which is so good. For those of our listeners who don't know you personally, I just want to say Sheree is speaking from experience. We've had many of these conversations in the years that we've known each other, and it's so important to do what Sheree just said. But maybe you're having trouble forgiving your husband. Maybe you're at a place where he's done some things that need need you to forgive him. You know, they need forgiveness, mm-hmm. and you're struggling with that. But there's David, and he is not getting revenge. He is walking in integrity, and he is like the foreshadowing of the teachings that Jesus gave when he came. And you know, we see this in Matthew chapter 5, verses 38 through 48. And I'm going to just read a little snippet of that. You have heard that it was said, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. Don't get revenge.
Yeah.
And then Peter came to Jesus in Matthew 18, 21 and 22, and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to 7 times? And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 7 times, but 77 times. You know, there are other examples in Luke chapter 6 and Luke 23. We need to forgive, and we need to not take revenge, you know. But we have to choose to obey, to be that woman of integrity. You know, if you have a problem with forgiveness, what of this that we just mentioned spoke to your heart? Are you holding on to something against your spouse right now? Today is the day for you to choose to forgive.
Yeah.
And you don't have to receive an apology to make that choice to forgive. Forgiveness is the choice that you make with your will, and you say, no, I choose to forgive. I release them from any debt that they owe me. I'm going to turn the other cheek. I'm going to go that extra mile, like it said in Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to do what is right before the Lord and trust that he is going to honor me and he's going to bless me for my obedience and my integrity.
Again, it goes back to, you know, it goes back to David and Saul and David's heart, you know, his heart to submit to God's authority and his anointed. And it is easy for us to come off track. We get that because we do it ourselves, and Rebecca and I and our other leaders, we're always reminding each other, you know, it's so much easier to see it when you're not the one in the midst of it. But praise the Lord for women who are rising up and taking a stand for marriage and God's precepts and the way he wants us to, you know, the way he's designed us as women to live out our calling as wives. It's so important that you have those godly women in your life that can hold you accountable. I need it. I know Rebecca needs it.
Yep,
our leaders need it. It's so important. Well, we're so glad, as we come to a close on today's show, we're so glad that and honored that you spent this time with us this morning. We pray that your heart's been lifted. We pray that you've received revelation as the Holy Spirit has spoken to you, because we know he's faithful to do so, and we know that he has. We want to encourage you today. If you are new to Imperfect Wives Radio, we'd love to invite you to join us at our blog at theimperfectwives.com. And connect with us there. Connect with our blogs. We post 3 times a week usually. We don't try to over inundate you, but we want to share what God has put on our hearts with you. And you can also listen to back shows for Imperfect Wives Radio on iTunes.
Yes.
You can join us on iTunes, and you can join us on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also connect with us on Facebook. Just go to The Imperfect Wives and connect with us there so you can see what's going on, because there's always something going on with this ministry. We hope that you'll join us next week, the same time, same station.
Yes,
I love that.
Absolutely.
And we will be praying for you guys. So, again, we hope to see you somewhere on our platforms, and we look forward to connecting with you and hearing your hearts for marriage and for David and his heart for God. Until next week, everyone, have an incredible week.
Bye, guys.
Bye, everyone.